The sunshine's coming out. That's a good thing. Tells me the weatherman wasn't telling the truth. So that's all right. We'll take the sunshine. I'm thankful to be here this morning. Thankful for Pastor Flaming and his wife and their influence and their ministry here. And I trust you'll continue to pray for them. I have no problem thinking that he's going to get a round of golf in sometime while he's away. But pray that he gets a good score too, all right? He deserves it. So that'll be wonderful. Some time ago, I had a conversation with our oldest son, Jacob. Jacob is now 12, and we had this conversation because I realized that things just weren't quite right. It seemed like most of our conversations revolved around correction. You ever have those seasons as a parent? You feel like you spend all of your time correcting. And by the way, while I'm talking about children, is there a children's church this morning or no? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't overlook the little people, so I happen to be one. So, enough small talk. All right. But we had this conversation because I was correcting him an awful lot. So I talked with him, and in the course of our conversation, I realized, really, that the problem wasn't with him. It was with me. You see, I was busy. I was running around trying to minister to others and meet their needs, and I was busy going here and going there, and I found out that I was neglecting this very important relationship that God entrusted to me with my son. And so I had to ask Jacob a question that really wasn't new to him. He had heard it before. But I asked this question, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? And I'm glad that he has a tender heart and he granted me forgiveness as he always does. But he forgave me. I find that I have to ask that question from time to time. And those that are here on summer staff at Camp Chautauqua, they'll tell you that I probably need to ask it more often. But I do ask it. Sometimes my wife will ask it. Sometimes my children ask each other. We usually have to make them, but they do ask each other. Will you forgive me? So why do we ask this question so often, or why should we? Because it's part of the Christian life. Forgiveness is part of the Christian life. You see, this forgiveness is absolutely necessary because our lives are built with relationships. Everyone you know, you have some kind of relationship with. And our lives are built around all of these different kinds of relationships. We have close family members. We have extended family members. We have friends and we have acquaintances. And unfortunately, sometimes we even have enemies. So life is built around relationships. And we still have this sinful nature even after we trust Christ, do we not? And because of that sinful nature, offenses enter into these relationships. Offenses come to life. I see how offenses enter into relationships all the time in my home. Some of you know, some of you don't know, but I have four boys. And so we see these offenses firsthand. I won't mention any names, Joshua, but one of our younger sons used to take something from his older brother, something that was important to him, and he would hide it somewhere in the house. And Jacob would just get furious Because he knew what had happened to that. He knew who did it, and he knew that he was doing it just to get under his skin. Now, thankfully, he doesn't do that anymore. But whenever that happened, an offense would enter into that relationship. You see it all the time within families and homes. Sometimes husbands and wives offend each other. Did you know that? For example, a husband has been out working all day and he comes home and without thinking, and ladies, please, I'm being completely honest, he is not thinking, all right, at this point. He's not thinking. But he comes home and without thinking, he walks in and the very first thing he says, "Hey, what's for dinner?" And she's got that frying pan and she's thinking, "I'm going to show you what's for dinner," you know. And there's an offense that enters into the relationship. It can happen in all kinds of relationships. Sometimes husbands will feel like they don't get the respect or freedom that they desire. There's an offense that enters into the relationship. Sometimes the closest of friends can offend each other. Why doesn't she call me like she used to? Or you got that weird text message that just something about it didn't sound right, you know? Even though it's your BFF. Best friend forever, right? Did I get it right, young people? Okay. And there's an offense that enters into the friendship. What do they mean by that? Well, how could she say such a thing? Offenses come in many varieties. And in all of these relationships, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, best of friends, we find that these relationships can be torn by offenses. Maybe not ripped apart altogether, but sometimes they're hanging on by a thread. Kind of like your favorite sweater. You snag it. It's just not quite right anymore. And sometimes these snags or these offenses that enter into these relationships can happen, even in the most valuable relationships. Something happens and there's tension, there's hurt feelings, there's anger, there could be resentment, a grudge. There's a problem. There's a tear that needs to be repaired. Do you mind if I'm transparent for a moment? I didn't think you'd mind. There have been times when I've been upset with my wife. She's not here. She's taking care of sick kids this morning. But there have been times when I've been offended by her. There have been times when an offense has entered into the relationship. And listen, I know all about forgiveness, but I still sometimes have found myself holding on to this thing and saying, "I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I'll get to it in a little bit. I know that I'm to forgive her, but this has happened before. I'll get around to forgiving her in a little bit after she realizes what she's done to me." Hey, I'm just being honest. I think we've all had moments like that, unless I'm the only one that's human. And it's not because necessarily that she was wrong, but listen, I was wrong in not forgiving. I have been wrong in not granting her the forgiveness that she has needed. You've experienced offenses, hurtful looks, heartless words, unmet expectations, broken promises, and even betrayal. Perhaps you've been offended by a spouse, a parent, a step-parent, brother, sister, and your world is full of relationships, and like me, you have to learn how to fix them, how to repair the tear. But we're not the only ones who have had to learn. Ever since sin has entered into the world, we have always suffered offenses. That's why the Lord taught Peter a priceless lesson in Matthew chapter 18. Would you turn there, please? Matthew chapter 18. We'll begin in verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, that is Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now at the time of this text, Jesus is in the town of Capernaum, near Capernaum, and he's engaged in a teaching moment with his disciples. He's teaching them these radical truths that are changing the way they think about life, the way they think about God, the way they think about people. He talks about offenses here in Matthew chapter 18, and he talks about offending authorities. He talks about offending even children. And he talks about people offending themselves with sin. Matthew chapter 18 covers offenses and how they're to be handled by believers. But while he's here in this teaching moment and talking about offenses, Peter speaks up. I mean, he has a habit of doing that, doesn't he? He's got something to add to this conversation. At least he thinks. And so the Lord is teaching them at this moment, and then he finishes his last sentence in verse 20, where he says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then at that moment, Peter feels like he has something to add. Jesus knew that Peter would need a little extra grace at this moment. And since they were talking about offenses, Peter thought it would be a good example to use himself as a prime example of forgiveness. So he basically says, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother who keeps sinning against me? Now, think with me for a moment. Notice how he does not use this in the reverse order. He doesn't say, Lord, how often should my brother forgive me whom I'm sinning against? That's not Peter at this moment in his life. Peter is pretty confident about his spirituality at this moment. Peter has a lot of growing to do, just like us. So he's strutting his spirituality in front of his friends and in front of the Lord and says, how often should I forgive someone? Can almost sense the tension, can't you? I mean, he's standing there. Jesus is teaching everyone, and then Peter chimes in with this question. So all the eyes turn to Peter as he asks the question. And then they hold their breath and they turn to the Lord and await the answer. Can you sense the tension in the moment? And Peter tries to impress the Lord by giving him an answer to his own question. How often should I forgive? Seven times. Don't you love it when people answer their own questions? I knew you did. You'll get that. So he thought that he would impress the Lord. Lord, how often should I forgive? Seven times? You see, Peter thought he was doing pretty good because the rabbinic teaching of the day was this. The teaching was that you only were required to forgive someone up to three times. Up to three times. So, that tells me that, mister, if you come home late from work and you don't call three times, that's it, sir. No more forgiveness for you. You're in the doghouse. All right? And missus, you're not off the hook. If you burn the beans once, twice, three times, that's it. No more forgiveness for you. See, that's the kind of teaching they were used to at that time. And so you understand then when Peter says, hey, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother who keeps sinning against me? Seven times? He made himself look pretty good. Until the Son of God spoke up. And Jesus answered and said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven. Jesus was teaching a principle that we have to grasp this morning, and it's this. Forgiveness must be unlimited. Forgiveness must be unlimited. Now, you'll notice in your Bible, especially if it's a red letter edition, that Peter didn't have anything else to say after this. After Jesus gave him an answer, that was it. Peter had gotten the answer that he needed. And I believe that the Lord was teaching Peter a lesson that we all need this morning, that we will need for the rest of our lives. And it's this: unlimited forgiveness mends torn relationships. And it'll make sense here soon, but unlimited forgiveness mends torn relationships. You see, Peter was used to mending nets as a fisherman. He would mend nets as a part of his business. It was necessary. But now, as a believer, as a Christian, he had to learn how to mend torn relationships. So the Lord taught him about unlimited forgiveness. Offenses come. They'll show up anytime, anywhere. They can show up at home. They can show up at work. Hey, they can even show up at church. Offenses will come. When you allow an offense to enter, a tear begins in the relationship. In Matthew chapter 4, and verse 21, we find that Jesus approaches John and James and Zebedee. And he finds them there in verse 21, the text says, mending their nets, which is interesting. Because to mend means to fix. It means to restore. It means to make right again. Restoration takes time. It takes work. But in order to be successful in the fishing business, the nets had to be restored often. And in order to be successful in relationships, they have to be restored often. Unlimited forgiveness mends torn relationships. It's not uncommon for these offenses to show up in a Christian home. Could be a wife. She knows what it's like to spend all of her time trying to help the children, maybe even with school and homeschool and making dinner and doing laundry and cleaning the house. And she knows what it's like to have all of this pressure. And sometimes she just wonders, why doesn't anyone just thank me once in a while? And there's a tear in a relationship. Sometimes the husband may feel like he doesn't get to do what he wants to do. And one day he snaps and says, well, one of these days there's a tear in a relationship. Maybe a young person, a young teenager, knows what it's like to have parents who just seem like, it just seems like you don't understand. Why don't you give me the freedom that I deserve? Why don't you trust me once in a while? And there's a tear in a relationship. Maybe it's not in a relationship that you have right now. Maybe it's not in your home. Maybe it's something that's happened years ago. Somebody has hurt you. They've betrayed you. They've taken advantage of you. Maybe even abused you. The statistics on abuse, whether it's sexual, mental, verbal, physical, are staggering. Maybe you have something in your past. Somebody's done something, and every time you think about it, it's like a fresh wound in the heart. There's been a tear in a relationship. Those tears, those snags, those offenses come because of sin. And perhaps you would say, but you don't understand. You don't understand what happened to me. Well, you may be right. You don't understand. It's like they killed something inside of me. Perhaps. You just don't understand. This I do understand. That there has never been anything that's been done to you, that's been done to me, that is worse than what's been done to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I view that offense, when I view that tear, when I view that abuse, when I view that wrong in light of Calvary, I realize there's no comparison. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be offended, to be abused, to be taken advantage of. He hung on a cross for our sins. He suffered at the hands of men for us. He knows what it's like. He understands. And if there's anyone on this earth who can forgive or who ought to forgive, it's Christians. The Bible tells us that if you have been forgiven, you must forgive. Ephesians 4:29 is where you'll find that principle. In fact, Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey spend hours telling people that they need to forgive. But they are telling people who are incapable of forgiving unless they know the Lord. You see, we are the only ones, the ones who have trusted Jesus Christ by faith, we are the only ones who are capable of offering true forgiveness. And yet, we struggle so often with giving it. Knowing that unlimited forgiveness mends torn relationships. Is there someone that you need to forgive this morning? Perhaps they've even come to mind as I've been speaking this morning. Is there somebody, if they walked in this church this morning, you would look at them and you would think, oh no. I hope they don't see me. I hope they don't sit by me. I don't want anything to do with that person. Then you need to forgive. You need to forgive. Even if that person isn't a part of your life anymore, maybe they're not even alive, you can still forgive. Unforgiveness doesn't hurt anyone but us who refuse to forgive. Listen, I'm not just telling you that you need to forgive. I need to learn how to forgive. I need to practice unlimited forgiveness. All of us must practice unlimited forgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive a husband, a wife, a parent, a step-parent, maybe even your own children. Do you need to forgive? Now, the beautiful thing about this, one of the many about living according to this principle of unlimited forgiveness, is that when we choose to forgive others, we put the gospel on display for all to see. Don't you think people at work notice, people in the community notice, when we decide to live in such a fashion that we don't harbor grudges? People notice that you know. When you decide you're going to live with a forgiving spirit and that you're not going to be one that's going to get your pound of flesh, people notice. And what they notice is this is the power of the gospel at work in your life. And they think, my stars, how can they live that way? Boy, if that were me and somebody did that to me, boy, I tell you what I would do. And you say, no, wait a minute. I'm a Christian, and I can forgive. That has impact wherever you are. And can I tell you, my friends, especially in the home, I'm in a lot of different places. You would not believe how many Christians refuse to forgive others, even within their own homes. And yet Jesus said, hey, unlimited forgiveness mends torn relationships. There's not to be a cap. There's not to be a limit. View it in light of Calvary and forgive. What would your home be like if you lived according to this truth? What would your workplace be like if you lived according to this truth? What would your school be like? Hey, what would this church be like? If you decided, that's the way I'm choosing to live. So here's my question. Who do you need to forgive this morning? Who do you need to forgive? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please.